seated if you want, or you can stand the whole service, preaching part if you want. But the month of May, we've been talking about families, kind of dubbed it Family Month, and for the Sunday morning services, I'm doing a series called Family Time, which is an acronym, which means treasure, invest, manage, and enjoy. And so far, we've covered treasure, how our family is valuable. It's a treasure that we've been given, how the enemy is trying to steal that treasure, and we've got to be willing to fight for it. And last week, we talked about investing or putting time and effort in now to withdraw from later. And surprise, surprise, we're going to do the next letter today, which is manage. Manage for this context that we're going to be talking about means to be in charge of, whether a company, an establishment, or an undertaking, or to administer something, to run something, or to look after and make decisions about. And one of the things that we need to do as the adults in our family is to manage them, to lead them, and to look after them, to make the correct decisions for our families. And people, they'll try to shirk responsibility. Probably think of somebody, no fingers pointing or anything, but we'll try to hide from it, and sometimes we'll just allow other people to make decisions for us or for our families, and that way we can put the blame on others. When the fact of the matter is that we are the ones who are responsible for our homes, for our families. And before we get to the managing our family part that we're going to talk about, there's something else we need to manage in order to manage our family. In order to lead our family the way that we should, it's been an ongoing theme throughout this series. It's even in the title, and that's time. If we can't manage our time, we find ourselves losing control of everything else. If we don't manage our time properly, we won't pray, and we won't spend the time with our family that we should. We won't invest in our family. We talked about last week, we'll miss church, we won't volunteer, or we won't serve because we just don't have time. We won't read our Bibles, or we won't get, study the Word. We'll get caught up in all these other things if we don't manage our time properly. When we're living like that, what kind of an example does that set for our families, for our church, for our neighbors, when we have no control over our own selves? And so time management is self-management. It's self-control. It's prioritizing the correct things. A time management expert was teaching a seminar for executives, and he placed a large, clear, open-mouth jar in front of the group. Next, he put 7 or 8 large rocks into the jar until it was full. "Is the jar full?" he asked everyone. They all nodded, and then he took some pebbles and filled up the jar with the small rocks until they reached the rim, and then he asked them, "Is the jar full?" And by now, they figured he was trying to trick them, so they didn't answer. And so he poured some sand in, and he said, "Is the jar full now?" And some of them were like, "Yeah, it's full." And then he proceeded to take a pitcher of water and filled up the jar again. And he said, "What is the lesson about time management?" And his hands shut up, and everyone, was agreeing. No matter how busy you are, you can fit more things into your schedule. And he said, "Wrong." He said, "The lesson is, unless you put the big rocks in first, they're not going to fit." So we have to figure out what the big rocks are in our lives. So what are the big rocks in your life? Is it giving time to God? Is it time to your marriage, to your children, serving in your local church? If you don't put the big rocks first, something else is going to fill up the jar. Every moment is a gift from God that must be managed wisely. Stephen Covey, I don't know if you can read it, but he said, "Time management is a misleading concept. You can't really manage time. You can't delay it. You can't speed it up, save it, or lose it. No matter what you do, time keeps moving forward at the same rate. The challenge is not to manage time, but to manage ourselves." The Bible uses a different word. Instead of manage your time, it speaks of redeeming the time. Ephesians 5, 15-16, it says, See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The phrase "walk circumspectly" means to constantly be looking around to make the most of every opportunity. If you don't manage your time, the saying is someone will manage it for you. You can't save time or even waste time. You're going to spend it somewhere. You're going to invest it in someone. If you don't control your schedule, someone will always be happy to do it for you. Some people complain they just don't have enough time to spend with their family. And you've got, this is going to blow your minds, but you have the same amount of time that everyone else has. We all have the same amount of time every day. I don't know if you knew that or not. I know, it's just the light bulbs are coming on. We've all got the same amount of time. We just have to manage it wisely. Manage ourselves wisely. Managing time correctly is a decision. And managing and leading our family correctly is a decision as well. So if we can't manage our time, we're not going to be able to lead our family properly. Does that make sense? And so in the Bible, the people of Israel, they're often challenged to do this, to make the right decision or make the right choice and to follow God and to lead their families, to make the decision for their families. And one such instance is recorded in the book of Joshua. And Joshua, he's come to the end of his leadership. He's been leading the nation of Israel. He's the one that leads them into the promised land. He leads them through lots of things. They go across the river of the seas, or the river parts, and they march around Jericho. If you know the story, walls come falling down, and there's this whole Achan thing where he steals something and hides it, and Joshua has to make the decisions about that. He's, before this, he was a spy for Moses. He'd seen everyone turn against him, and Caleb, who was the other one, and they had to wait till they all died and they were punished. He's seen a lot of things, Joshua. And he's the one that's led them into the promised land. He's done a lot of things that nobody else has done before. And he's been through some incredible trials. And Joshua, he's come through on the other side, and he's got the testimony to prove it. And through it all, he's learned a little bit about humans and about our nature. And the longer, this is a weird thing, but the longer we live, the more we learn about people. I know, I'm just sharing on these light bulbs. It's a weird thing. Some of us, we've seen a lot. We can tell what someone's going to do because we've seen it happen before. Joshua, at this point, he's seen the whole nation turn on the word of 10 other men. He's witnessed people turn against God and Moses and worship a golden calf that they just made and said, this is the one that's delivered us from Egypt. He watched people disobey God, and he watched people steal when they weren't, you know, God told them not to do it, and he defeated enemies. He's seen all these things, and Joshua knows how finicky people can be and how difficult it was for them to manage themselves or to make a decision for them and their families and stick with that decision. He saw how easy they turned against God, the God who had literally given them the ground that they were standing on, and the God who had led their parents out of Egypt and provided for them in the desert, had been there every step of the way. But now Joshua, he's an old man. He's coming to the end of his life, and he wants to make sure that everybody else is on the same page now after everything that they've been through. And Joshua says in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 14, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and the truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. He said, if you're going to serve God, you need to do it sincerely. You can't do it half-heartedly. You can't be, you know, in and out and up and down and all that. You got to make up your mind that you're going to do it. You need to manage yourselves. Joshua's telling them, you need to do this. I'm not going to be around forever. You need to take ownership now, because the day is going to come when I'm not going to be here. You need to put away these other gods, and you need to stop chasing these other things, and you need to serve the Lord. There's a choice, there's a decision that you need to make. How many times do we say we will do something and then we don't? Husbands? Wives? You got a list of things you're going to do. Maybe we're insincere when we say we'll do something and we don't. But we do it with God as well. We'll pray. God, you know, surely nobody else has done this, but God, if you do this, I'm going to do this. And then God does the thing and you don't do the thing that you said you would do. And I'll go anywhere, but not there. I'll do anything, but not that thing. I'll live for you unless it gets in the way of what I want, and I'll serve you until it becomes inconvenient, or I'll worship you when I feel like, or I'll pray when I, you know, when the Spirit moves and I feel like it. Or I'll go to church when the weather's nice and they're having food or there's just something special going on or whatever. And that's not being sincere. If we're going to serve God, we need to do it with sincerity and with truth. If we're going to lead our families in the ways of God, we need to do it with sincerity and truth, because they can see through it. Your family sees how we act, how you act at home. They hear what we say. They're going to follow our examples. We have the truth. We've got the Bible. We need to read it and study and get in our heart. He's given us the truth part, and sincerity has to come from us. Relationships. Here's another mind-blowing one. Relationships are two ways. There's a give and a take. Both parties need to be involved. Both parties need to put into it. So Joshua says, you have to put away other gods, the ones that your parents worship. Sometimes we can get, you know, in ruts. As you know, my father was like this, or my mom was like that, and that's how, you know, I am, because that's how it was. You know, they did this, and that's, I have no other choice but to follow in their footsteps. But you don't need to end up like them. You don't have to be like them. You are responsible for your own relationship with Jesus. My father, he did everything wrong. He drank and smoked whatever. Wasn't the best example. I've got sisters that I don't know. You know, he wasn't a great example. Everyone loved him. He was a funny guy, fun to be around, but spiritually wasn't the best example. And I can make every excuse and just go along his footsteps and say, well, this is how it is. This is how he was. He did all this, and nothing I can do about it. But there comes a time when we need to step out on our own. We may need to make a decision for our own and accept responsibility for our own walk with God. We can't rely on others and make excuses. The decision's up to you. And this is what Joshua is putting to the people. There came a time when I had to make a decision for me and for my future and for the family that I would eventually have and raise. And so Joshua says in the next verse, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, if it seems evil to serve the Lord, or if it sounds like something you don't want to do, you need to make up your mind. Are you going to serve these gods? Are you going to serve those gods? Are you going to serve the God? You need to make a decision. He said, today it's up to you. No one's going to force you. No one can make you do it. Your husband, your wife, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor, your friend. No one's going to make you make that decision. It's something we need to make on our own. No one is able to force you. The decision has to come from you. A lot of problems come because we've tried to make decisions for others, but they need to make it for themselves. No one can make you live for God. It would be a lot easier if we could do that. But if that was the way, then we wouldn't be living for Him in sincerity and truth, would we? So he said, this day, today is the day. You need to make up your mind today. If you can serve, you can serve God correctly, like your ancestors, like the people that have in the past. Oh, sorry, you can serve God correctly, or you can serve Him like they did. You know, they're in and out. If you read the story of the Israelites in the desert, they were worshiping other things, making calves out of stuff, and oh, this is the God. And you can live like that, or you can live like the people around you, or you can follow God with everything you've got. You need to make that decision today, he said. Soon. You can't keep, you know, just following the crowd. You need to make up your mind. And Joshua, at the end, he says, but for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua tells them the choice, you know, they have a choice to make. And he said, basically, I don't really care what you're going to do. But me and my house, we're going to live for God. We're going to serve God. The decision needs to be yours. Joshua didn't let the rest of Israel dictate whether he would live for God or not. He didn't have a poll and say, you know, whatever you guys vote, that's what we're all going to do. He said, as for me and my house, you guys do whatever you want. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve God. He made the decision on his own. He made the decision for not just for himself, but for his family. I don't care what you guys do, but I'm going to lead my family to serve God. Joshua, he's already been through this. He and Caleb, they were spies who said they could take the promised land, and the rest of the people turned against him. Joshua was no stranger to following God when everyone else didn't want to. And too many times we allow others to make decisions for us and go along with the flow. But in this decision, we need to make it on our own. This is a choice that we need to make for ourselves and for our families, how we're going to raise our families. But in order to manage my family, in order to lead my family in the ways of God and the will of God, it needs to start with me. As for me and my house, I need to make the decision for my life. I cannot lead them to follow God if I am not following Him. If my heart is not right, I cannot lead them the right way. There's a whole lot of, you know, do what I say, not what I do. That was my dad said that too. As he lit up his cigarette. Don't do this, he would say. But it looks so cool. I didn't do it. I can't lead my family in the right path if I'm not going in the right path. So the big picture about managing or leading our families to serve God, you know, that's the big picture. But it starts with us. It starts with me. If I cannot manage or lead my own self, how can I lead others? We cannot be, you know, wishy-washy in our service to God and expect our families to be completely dedicated and sold out. Joshua could say that because Joshua had lived it for years. He'd taken a stand. He put his faith in God. He was the old man who had seen it all and done it all. He was the one that all the people his age had died off in the desert because they didn't believe. Joshua could say that because he'd done it. And it starts with me making the decision. And then it becomes we. I will serve the Lord and I will lead my family. We will serve the Lord. No matter what you guys decide, we're living for God. No matter what you do, I'm the only one that shows up. You know, we'll still keep going. Once upon a time, my wife and I, we tried to start a church in St. John, and there were some services. We were the only ones that came. That was fun. It's encouraging. And there's been, even here, some Wednesday Bible studies where the shepherds have outnumbered the rest. I mean, we keep growing that number, but, you know, there are times that it's like, well, what do we... But we keep going. We'll keep serving. This may hurt your feelings, but your decision does not affect me. I'm going to keep living for God no matter what anybody else does. And that's what Joshua's saying. You guys do whatever you want, but I'm going to keep living for God. There's certain times and points in our lives where we need to stop and reassess and make sure that we're doing this right. Because it's easy to get off track. It's easy to get off course and get distracted. Israel would live for God, and then they would get distracted and sidetracked by the countries and nations around them, and it wasn't long before they were no longer serving God in sincerity and truth. And so we need these times, services like today, moments like this, where we can recommit, and, you know, if we've strayed a bit, we can repent and get back on track. And, you know, maybe we made up our mind a long time ago, but it's still good to ask ourselves every now and again, choose you this day. Joshua did it. He was 110 years old or so. He made up his mind a long time ago, but he made that decision again that day. Walking with God and following Jesus is a daily thing. We choose daily. So the question is, who are you going to serve this day? Make up your mind this day. Some days it feels like we aren't serving Him. Every day we need to make that decision. What are we going to do? How are we going to live today? Verse 16, it says, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. They said, God forbid, we've been through too much. We ain't turning back now. That's what they said. There comes a time where in our faith, our walk with God, you just kind of pass this point of no return. I've been in this too long. I'm not turning back. I've been in this. You know, it becomes natural for us to decide and follow Him. The decision becomes easier over time. He's brought me through too much to turn back now. God forbid. It's not going to happen. When I get up in the morning, I praise Him. I'm going to live for Him. I've been through too much. You got some people here that's you. You know it. It's too late now. You can tell me whatever you want. I'm not turning around now. I've put too much into this. Verse 17, they said, "For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the lands. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And so Israel, they start listing off the things God's done for them. This is a nice, not a trick, but a nice thing to do. If you're having a hard time making a decision, if you're having a rough day, you know, "I don't know if I want to keep doing this," remember the things that God's done. They said, "He's delivered us from Egypt. He set us free. He's showed us signs and wonders. He's provided for us. He's kept us. He's drove out all the people. He's made a way for us. He's our God." And it's the same testimony He's given us. He's delivered us from the world, from sin, from bondage, addiction, you know, suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety, from our hurt and from our past. He's delivered me and He's showed signs and wonders in our lives. We've got testimonies all over this room, people that have been healed by God. Things He's done in our families. He's putting broken things back together. He's come through for me. He's preserved us and He's kept us through everything, through all the storms and trials and valleys and tribulation and persecution, sickness, and all the different battles we've gone through. He's kept me, and I'm only here because of His grace, because of His mercy, His loving kindness. He's kept me. Others turned against me, abandoned me, but He's never left. He's kept me and sustained me and provided for me. He's cleared the way. Jesus made a way for me when there was no way, the song says. And when I had nowhere to turn, He came through. He led me where I am through all the storms and valleys of my life. He's led me when I didn't know where to turn. He's led me. He opened doors for me that I didn't even know existed. He's paved the way. And like the people of Israel, we can say He is our God. He's done these things. God forbid that I should turn back now. God forbid that I don't lead my family the way that I should go. God forbid I don't tell my kids about what He's done in my life. God forbid I don't lead them and manage them the way that I should. He's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. John 21 and 25 says that, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, in which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. He's done so much. We can't even tell it all. We couldn't even write down all the things that God's done. How could I turn back now? How could I turn away? And that's what they're saying. Verse 19 to 20, it says, "Joshua said to the people, 'You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after all that He hath done you good.'" Now this part looks a little weird. Joshua says, "Look, I've seen this before. I've seen people say things but walk away. We've all seen it. I've seen your fathers, your mothers." Joshua, he's the old guy. Everyone else is under 40 or so. Joshua said, "Look, I've seen this before. I've seen your parents do this, your grandparents. You know, I've seen them say the same things or they walk away. I've seen them worship a golden calf because Moses went away for a month and they didn't know what to do. I've seen Achan and his family die because they got greedy." And he's reminding them, "You need to be sure. God's not messing around." My good friend, Marilla Cuthbert. One of my favorite quotes. "God does not want you for a fair weather friend." If you like Anne of Green Gables, well, then they're kindred spirits. But you need to make this decision and stick to it. Paul said at the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4 and 7, "I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith." This is something we need to stick with until it's over. We make this decision, we need to stick with it. Finish the course. Keep the faith. Fight until it's over. It's not a start and a stop thing when the going gets tough. It's not a bailout because it's getting a little bit rough right now. It's stick with it. Joshua says, he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. That's not something we expect to read in the Bible. Because we know that he will forgive and repent. If we repent and confess and call on his name, 1 John 1:9 says that. So obviously it doesn't mean it that way, but in the way like he's not going to just overlook it and pretend it never happened. God takes this seriously. There's going to be consequences, Joshua says, if we disobey, if we don't return, if we don't repent. There's forgiveness if we stray and repent, but if we don't, then there isn't. Joshua's saying you need to be sure if you're going to do this, you can't be doing whatever you want. There's consequences for that. There's a price that comes with this decision or this relationship because you're not your own anymore. If you're a single and you want to go on dates with everyone, go ahead, I guess. You can do that. That's your right. Probably won't work out well, but you can do whatever. But if you've entered into a marriage relationship, there's consequences if you do that. You know what I'm saying? You're not doing that anymore. You're in a relationship. There's a covenant. But the benefits in that marriage relationship, that covenant, outweigh the consequences. It's better for me to stay than to do that. Do you know what I'm saying? But my wife doesn't know what I'm saying. Unbelievable. The benefits in the covenant are greater than going outside of it to do whatever. The benefits, if we follow Jesus, if we live for him, there are things that he's going to expect us to do and not to do because we're in that relationship with him. Because we are his now. But the benefits in that relationship far outweigh anything else that I could get outside. I hope this is... There's a joy, there's a peace, there's a contentment that comes from following him. There's eternity that we have with him. There's grace, there's mercy and forgiveness in that covenant. But when we step outside of that, it's gone. We stay with him. Make that decision and stay with him. Oh, hopefully I didn't bury myself there. Verse 21 says, the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Basically, you know, it's all right. We know we're going to serve him. Verse 23 to 24, he said, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. The people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. He said, put away these things. And we have a tendency to collect different gods in our lives. Some strange things that we will prioritize over everything else. Wednesday we heard about media and how that can consume us if we're not careful. Some of us can become obsessed with work. Some of us, no one here, but other people love drama. And they just like to look for it everywhere, and they just become obsessed with it, and they just gotta check everyone's status, and gotta tell it. I don't even want like that. That's all I'm gonna say. Did you see this? No, I don't care. But because some people can be obsessed with leisure, relaxing, activities, and sports, pleasure, whatever, all kinds of things we end up prioritizing and, for lack of better words, worshiping and obsessing over and spending all of our time on. So many other things that we give our hearts to. He says, incline your heart toward. That means stretch your heart toward or bend it toward, turn it to God. Deuteronomy 6 tells us to love the Lord with all our heart. Are we doing that? We know there's one God. We know who he is. Are we responding to this with the knowledge the way he expects us? It says, yours, the Lord our God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's our response to that knowledge. Do we keep some of our hearts to ourselves? Do we give some to others, to other causes, to other passions? Are we giving our heart away, or is our heart inclined to him? Because our response to this is to give our hearts to him. We hold on to things in our hearts. We'll give him most of our hearts. We'll keep some to ourselves. We'll give some to others. We'll hold things back from Him. We don't want to give it all up. We think we can get by giving half our heart. If we keep busy, we'll be okay. If we do what's expected of us by others, then that's good enough. If we keep our routines and our patterns, and we go to church when we can, and we give in the offering, and we, you know, do all these things, you know, that'll be good enough. And if we don't do this or go here or do that or whatever, that's fine. And that's, we can just get by. But all the while, we have things in our hearts that we're holding on to. Pain and the past, dreams, hopes, aspirations, desires, and we refuse to surrender them all to God, and we let these other things and lesser gods in our lives have a place in our hearts when we're supposed to love Him with all of our heart. Choose you this day. If we can't do that, we can't love Him with all our hearts if we're giving place to others. We can't love Him with all our hearts if we keep building rooms for other gods in our lives. If we keep giving place to pride and arrogance, if we're full of jealousy and lust, if we're here just out of duty and our heart isn't in it. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Thou, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God." When we turn to him with all of our heart, that's when we'll see things start to change in our lives and in our families as well. It trickles down. If we're going to live for Him, we're going to serve Him and follow Him, we need to get rid of some other things. Our whole heart needs to be in all of us. It's a heart decision. Good luck. Joshua chapter 24, verse 24. It says, "And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." Verse 25, "And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, the stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. And Joshua let the people depart, every man into his inheritance." And so after basically, it reads like Joshua's trying to convince the people not to live for God, making sure that they know everything they're getting into. They make a covenant. And they set up this big stone. It's a reminder, a memorial, a monument, if you will. And every time the kids come by, what's that for? Oh, it's... Well, this covenant that we made with God. And so this morning, I'm almost done. I hope it made some sense. But I want to invite anyone or everyone, whatever way it works, to come. If you want to give your heart to God, if you want to give your life to God, maybe we've been doing it for 50 years. Maybe we're like Joshua. Feel like we're near the end, and you know, I've been doing this a long time and I've seen a lot of things. It's still a decision that we need to make today. Choose you this day. We're going to open the altar, I guess we call it, at the front. You want to come and we'll pray together. You can pray in your seat, it's fine. Whatever you want to do, but I just want to invite us today to make that decision, to manage our own lives, to manage our own hearts, our own walks with God, so that we can lead our families. Joshua, he was the old timer. He was a veteran. He'd been there the longest. And he led in that decision. He was the first one to make the decision. And I'm relying on our veterans here to lead in that decision for their families, for their lives, for this church. Maybe you've been on the fence and maybe you're kind of mulling it over. Today you can make that decision. Make the first step. Repentance, turning to Him. You can be baptized if you like. You can be filled with the Spirit today. The first step is making that decision. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to leave this other stuff behind. Joshua said you need to leave these other gods behind. You need to leave the way that you did things before behind. And today make the decision. Today choose who you're going to serve. So if we could stand today. If you want to come around the front, we can pray with you. If you want to make that decision, if you want to pray in your seat, that's fine. But if we're willing to make that commitment today, maybe you've done it many years ago. Let's recommit to Him. If you've never done it, today's a good place to start. Choose you this day. It starts with turning to God. Repentance. And God, I'm sorry for the way I've been living. I haven't managed my own heart properly. I haven't managed my own life properly. I want to do this. I want to do it right. I want to follow you. I want to lead my family in the ways of God. I want to lead my children. I want to show my nieces and nephews and grandchildren how to do it. God, I'm willing to do that today. It starts with that. The rest will follow. But we need to lead our families as men and women of God. We need to lead our families. But it starts with us. It starts with us making the decision. It starts with our hearts being right. And so I'm going to stop talking. I hope that was clear. As clear as I could be. Let's make that decision today. Let's turn to Him. Choose you this day who you will serve. Let's manage our own hearts today.